is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Sorry about that little delay there, guys. I was typing away in the chat room this morning. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Thank you guys so much. Oh, somebody just signed into the chat room with the name Navel Gazer, and that's got to be the best chat room name I've ever seen in my life. So that's a new person that I don't know. Thank you guys for tuning in this morning. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is the 5th day of March. We're stomping our way through March right now. And tell you what, the sun is out here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy. Yesterday was like super duper dreary and the sun is out. So I hope wherever you guys are at, you're getting some sunshine, a little vitamin D exposure. It's good for your skin, good for your life. Good stuff. Anyways, I got yelled at in the chat room yesterday because apparently I talked too much in the morning before jumping into the news. So we're going to try and truncate this little pre-show blurb here. Just letting you guys know it can be a great big show today. Appreciate all you guys in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Lots of awesome people in there already in the morning. And it's a great way for you guys to kind of be able to chat back and forth, talk about some of the news we're going to go over, and also shoot some questions over for the guests that we always have in the second hour. Today's guest in the second hour is going to be the one and only Greg Morse. Greg Morse has been leading the charge against this mortgage corruption issue. And there's plenty and plenty of information on redpillreports.com right at the top of the screen there. You can follow the link to all of the articles that we've got posted regarding the mortgage crisis and also how you can figure out if your mortgage has been compromised. And also, you can follow the link to his petition. I won't get into that too much right now because obviously Greg's going to be joining us in about an hour and we'll have a lot to talk about. But I'll tell you out there right now, if you're a new listener and you haven't heard about what is going on in the mortgage industry right now in terms of whether or not you actually own your home, this is not going to be a show that you want to miss. So I'm just going to leave that right there, and we'll do a whole bunch more plugging at the end of the show today. So let's just jump in. Hi, Navel Gazer. How are you doing? Eric's in there. Paisley Buddy's in there. PRC News is in there. Woodwolf, Poet, Obsidian, Lex. Just awesome having you guys in the morning. And he's wishing all the people of Missouri a nice day as well. It is going to be a nice day because they are not spraying junk in the sky yet, and it's already I would think they would have already gotten that initiative going if that was what was going to be happening this morning. So hopefully we'll have blue skies for the rest of the day. I'm ready to go here. Okay, let's just jump right into the news. We're not going to waste any more time this morning. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. You guys want to keep up with the news that we post here at redpillreports.com, you can go there, go to the show section, which is right at the top of the page as well. You'll find out everything you want to know about the guests for the rest of the day and then see all the news that we aggregated from around the world over the last 24 hours, trying to keep you guys kind of up to date on not only what is actually going on, but what the agenda makers would like you to believe is going on. And we kind of try and work our way through all that in the morning. That's got to be a record. Here we go. Breaking news coming out of South Korea. This broke late last night. The U.S. ambassador to South Korea, his name is Mark Lippitt. He was attacked yesterday by an armed individual in Seoul. It actually left him very seriously injured, according to the country's news agencies. Lippert was making his way to a lecture in central Seoul when the attack occurred. And during the attack, Lippert was slashed in the face by an unidentified man, according to a witness who reported that to Reuters. Other outlets are reporting that the assailant used a razor blade. Images posted online showed the ambassador with blood spattered on his face, hands, and clothes as he clutches the right side of his face. He's been hospitalized, and the White House officials said that the injuries were not life-threatening. But the man responsible for the attack has not had his full name released by the police yet, but he is under arrest. He has been identified only as a 55-year-old man named Kim, And one of the other witnesses tweeted that while the attack was going on, the gentleman who was doing the attacking was saying that both Koreas need to be united. I don't know what any of that means, ladies and gentlemen, but it did actually happen. The U.S. ambassador to Seoul attacked yesterday on his way to a conference by an assailant with a razor blade, and also, you know, with some political rhetoric apparently coming out saying that, you know, they would like Seoul to be united. Do you think the people in Southeast Asia are getting fed up with United States entanglements? I think that that's kind of what this is about. Now, who really knows what's going on? Obviously, we hope that Mark isn't super injured, but that's got to be one of the scariest things in the world. I mean, that's way up on the top of my list of stuff I do not want happening to me. Some random dude coming up with a razor blade and coming after my face. It's like burning alive or being drowned, or it's just one of those things I don't want to have to deal with. And unfortunately, that happened to our ambassador in Seoul yesterday. Goofy stuff. In February this year also, U.S. Senator Rand Paul said that the U.S.-led effort to overthrow the Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, in 2011, quote-unquote, destabilized the region and created what he called a jihadist wonderland, said Rand Paul in comments quoted by the Wall Street Journal. Gaddafi was a secular dictator, not the kind of guy we want having representing us in this country, but he was secular. He didn't like radical Islam. He kept them down because they were a threat to him. And what happened when we toppled the secular dictator? Chaos, more radical Islam. Senator Paul called the Libyan intervention Hillary's war, noting the fact that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton pushed for the U.S. to get involved in the conflict and said that it had empowered an armed extremist that would later turn against the United States. Okay, so that's the background. Now, bring us up to today. According to the Wall Street Times, it is now being reported that the former U.S.-backed Libyan Islamic Fighter Group leader, his name is Abdel Hakim Belhajd, he has now joined ISIS in an effort to lead a beefed up version of the terror group's presence in Libya. So again, all these people that we armed in Hillary's war against Gaddafi, they've now turned on us. They are starting up their own version of ISIS, and they are essentially back in business now. So again, ISIS has been attempting to spread its influence to Libya beginning back in late 2014 when ISIS occupied the Libyan city of Derna and began fighting, training fighters there. The Washington Times notes that the ISIS strategy for expansion includes the incorporation of existing jihadist groups into a global caliphate, with the integration of Belhajd, reported Libyan ISIS franchise now falling well within that, that plan. And Frank Gaffney Jr. wrote in the Washington Times, the Belhajd ties to al-Qaeda were controversial during the U.S. run-up to airstrikes in support of the Libyan rebels, but this did not prevent him from maintaining a high profile at the time, including being made head of the Tripoli Military Council, a position he held until resigning to run office in May of 2000. Has a reputation for involvement in the international jihad as well, playing a role in the 2004 Madrid train bombings and accused by investigators of being involved in the murder of two Tunisian politicians at the behest of the Muslim Brotherhood. Obviously, Muslim Brotherhood is one of these major moderate Muslim groups that we have been supporting, you know, obviously for a long time now. Now it's starting to we're going to see this thing turn around on us. And that's what we're talking about right now. Newsweek notes also that thousands of foreign fighters have flooded into Libya over the last few days in an effort to bolster Belhajd's growing ISIS army. A Libyan Dawn coalition made up of his group and the Muslim Brotherhood and the al-Qaeda-linked terror group Ansar al-Sharia currently controls Tripoli and claims to be the official government of Libya, though the Western-backed government of Prime Minister Abdullah al-Thani has obtained UN recognition as well, setting up a very intense conflict as ISIS begins to push its dominance for Libya. So more very bad things happening in Libya. We basically armed those people to help us overthrow Gaddafi, which was – he was not a bad guy, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what. We have friends who were business associates in Libya. That was not a bad place to live and certainly would have been a much nicer place to live than in the United States. And you can just go look that up. I'm telling you, they took very good care of their people. But we had to have that war, and now the remnants of that war, much like the Mujahideen that we supported to fight in Afghanistan against Russia, became al-Qaeda, became these radicalized people. This is blowback. This is exactly what Ron Paul warned us about, and now Rand Paul saying the same thing last year, and boom, here we are, new ISIS offshoot in Libya, you know, basically supported by the United States. Just sickening. Okay, moving on to more ridiculous stuff here. Amnesty International's got a new report out right now talking about the alarming spike in executions in Saudi Arabia. And they're saying that there's no evidence right now that links the alarming spike in executions in Saudi Arabia to any type of battle against terrorism in general or the Islamic State in particular. So again, we're talking about three beheadings that just took place on Tuesday, one for rape, two for murder, raised the total of beheadings in Saudi Arabia this year so far to 38, which is three times the number over the same period from last year. So it would be a stretch, according to the AFP, to say that this is an attempt to deter violence, because almost half of this year's executions were for drug-related nonviolent crimes, according to Amnesty's Saudi Arabia researcher. And again, just bearing in mind who supports the Clintons so much, Saudi Arabia and the Bushes, really, fundamentally, we are absolutely glued to the hip to these people. And rape, murder, apostasy, armed robbery and drug trafficking are all punishable by death under the Saudi Arabia's version of Islamic Sharia law. The kingdom practices a very strict version of Sunni Islam, and the London-based Amnesty recorded 11 executions last year, 17 for the same period in 2013, 9 for that same period in 2012, and after 27 executions in 2010, the number has skyrocketed to about 80 annually, with a record 87 last year, and the figures are, again, among the world's highest. So I tell you, the pictures that they show of these beheadings looks really goofy to me. It looks like they just took a flat sheet of metal and like drew out the shape of a knife and then carved it out and ground on it. It doesn't look like they're even using real weapons. And I don't know. It looks like a show to me. But anyway, that's what's going on. Amnesty International presenting a new report saying that the Saudi executioners are basically out of control and have nothing to do with battling ISIS or anything like that. So there you go. Also, in news moving on towards Ukraine, because there's obviously still a lot of things going on there, the United States 173rd Airborne Brigade commander, his name is Michael Foster, he said at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. yesterday that the U.S. will be deploying personnel by the end of this week to train the Ukrainian National Guard. So again, the United States will deploy personnel by the end of this week to train the Ukrainian National Guard. The U.S. 173rd Airborne Brigade Commander Michael Foster has said that. He says before this week is up, we will be deploying a battalion to the Ukraine to train Ukrainian forces for the fight that is taking place. What he says we've got laid out is six United States companies that will be training six Ukrainian companies throughout the summer. The current plan right now is for U.S. forces to stay 6 months, he said, and then noted that there have been discussions about how to increase the duration and the scope of the training mission. So again, hedging our bets towards war in the Ukraine. We're now sending more American troops over there in the guise of a training mission. And it probably makes sense given the fact that Ukraine right now is replenishing the Donbass tank supplies, even though there's supposed to be a ceasefire going on right now. So again, amidst all these efforts to bring the warring parties in eastern Ukraine to the negotiating table, Kiev has now announced fresh supplies of tanks to his forces in Donbass, which is, of course, jeopardizing the truce that was reached by the Minsk deal, which requires the withdrawal of heavy weaponry. So under the international deal struck in Minsk last month, the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Lugansk People's Republic have already fulfilled some of the obligations and pulled back their heavy weaponry from the contact line with Kiev's forces. The Ukrainian military so far, lagging behind the rebel forces, strive to withdraw artillery, but has almost completed the first step, according to Kiev. Ukraine's defense ministry spokesperson told Sputnik that the army has withdrawn everything that they have declared. Says we have taken the first step and brought the 100-millimeter caliber artillery to the designated distance, which is 25 kilometers away on an approved border arrangement under the Minsk agreements. Therefore, we are ready to withdraw heavy weapons, but only in the case that the other party will begin withdrawing their artillery systems. But the latest special OSCE monitoring mission report noted that the security situation in Donetsk and Lugansk regions is relatively calm, with some instances of distant shelling and gunfire heard by the observers. And while all parties concerned agree that the truce is holding, Kiev is actively taking steps to re-equip itself again. So Kiev now supplying new rounds of tanks with fresh ammunition to the Donbass region. Of course, I'm sure they are 25 kilometers away so that they can say they are following accord with this Minsk deal. But I think that they, under the guise of us, again, hedging their bet towards towards war. And Putin coming out yesterday pretty staunchly saying the continued economic pressure will never affect Moscow's foreign policy. Vladimir Putin, actually, this was Vladimir Putin's press secretary saying that, said no sanctions would force Russia to make changes to the persistent line it follows with international affairs. So Kremlin officials also called the sanctions a double-edged weapon that, while causing certain discomfort to the Russian economy, was also hurting businesses in the countries that introduced them, not to mention the world economy as a whole. And this comment came shortly after U.S. President Barack Obama announced his decision to prolong the anti-Russian sanctions introduced in March and December for another year entirely. Again, hedging our way towards war here. The Russian Foreign Ministry also commented on the move Wednesday, saying that it can only be seen as an attempt to thwart the peace process in southeastern Ukraine. Again, the Russian Foreign Ministry said, as soon as there are signs of peaceful settlements of this acute crisis in the Ukraine, people in Washington immediately start to destabilize the situation. I think that's exactly accurate. That is 100,000%. Look at the murder of Nemtsov that happened over the weekend there in Russia. Obviously a false flag. I think that we are really fomenting at the mouth to go to war. That is the only thing that's going to keep, the world economy on track, I think, as far as the war hawks go, the neocons go. So that's what they're going for. Here's more indications of that. Six new NATO warships arrived in the Black Sea yesterday to take part in exercises with Bulgarian, Romanian, and Turkish natives, the Alliance Maritime Command, or MARCOM, said in a statement. The six vessels in the exercises are assigned to the Standing NATO Maritime Group Number 2, or SNMG Number 2, which is headed by the Rear Admiral Brad Williamson, U.S. Rear Admiral Brad Williamson. So anyway, group, the SNMG-2, currently consists of a flagship U.S. cruiser-guided missile, the USS Vicksburg, as well as vessels from Canada, Turkey, Germany, Italy, and that's pretty much it. So anyway, the deployment of the NATO vessels in the Black Sea was a scheduled visit. It's conducted in full compliance with international conventions, according to MARCOM. But still, the fact that we are now carrying out more NATO drills right in the Black Sea, right off the coast, right under the nose of Russia, you know, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. What's going on over here in the chat room right now? What? That is 100,000? Oh. I don't know what you're saying, OB. Say that again so I can read it and figure out what we're talking about right now. Okay. Oh, and more rhetoric coming out about this Iranian situation. I'm still not really sold that there's actually a situation here anymore. But the United States said yesterday that tough challenges still remained to seal a nuclear deal with Iran, vowing not to be distracted by external politics in its quest to stop Tehran from acquiring a nuclear bomb. So Secretary of State John Kerry and his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Zarif wrapped up 3 days of intense nuclear negotiations in the Swiss lakeside town of Montreux with still no deal as the March 31st deadline for a framework agreement looming in the future there. So speaking a day after the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stridently criticized an agreement that he would not stop Iran from getting a nuclear bomb, Kerry stressed that the purpose of the negotiations was to get the right deal and one that can withstand scrutiny. So I think we're seeing still a lot of I think it's soft. I think these are all soft words. I think there's a big story that's already happened behind the scenes, and these guys don't want anybody to know about it right now because, again, I just don't see Iran as a threat really anymore. And the reason I say that is because we were talking yesterday about Iran coming to the aid of Iraq as they went and stomped their way through Tikrit yesterday. All the indications right now that I've read are saying that that was a non-U.S. initiated thing. There wasn't any other groups there other than Iran, except I did find last night, and all of you people out there who are super pro-Israel might find this to be interesting. There was another group of people that was actually supporting Iraq and Iran in their initiative against the ISIS group in Tikrit yesterday. Guess who that was? Take a wild stab in the dark. Well, you're wrong. It was a group from Lebanon, usually named Hezbollah. That's right, Hezbollah, there also on the ground with Iraq and Iran, complements of that organization from Lebanon working to defeat ISIS. And why wouldn't they be? Because ISIS is a creation of the CIA. So again, all of this CIA, Israel gang up on Palestine, gang up on the Gaza Strip, and you know, yeah, obviously Hezbollah probably has a problem with Israel right now. And if you look back at history at what Israel's done to the Gaza Strip, you would too. If you lived there, holy crap. So anyway, Hezbollah also helping out in the coalition with Iraq and Iran against ISIS. Man, these guys just must be awful people, huh? Must just be awful people coming up to the aid of other countries that are, well, religiously very different, Sunni and Shiite, obviously, you know. Oh, let's talk a little bit too. I hate to come back to this particular story coming out of the UK, but I know all you UK listeners will appreciate this. The Independent Police Complaints Commission, or IPCC, has now agreed to investigate claims that the Scotland Yard covered up the murder of a young boy at the hands of a Westminster pedophile ring. They will examine whether the corrupt police officers ignored clues relating to the death of 8-year-old Vishal Mehrotra back in 1981. According to The Telegraph, last November, Vishal's father, who is a retired magistrate, told The Telegraph that police had deliberately covered up his son's killing to protect a network of high-profile child abusers. Okay. After his alleged allegations were passed to Scotland Yard, the Met Police launched an internal investigation into historic corruption, which has now been referred to the IPCC. So Vishal was abducted as he was walking home to Putney, southwest London, after watching the marriage procession of Prince and Princess of Wales. He disappeared less than a mile away from the notorious Elm Guesthouse in Barnes, where a group of high-profile pedophiles, including MPs, are said to have abused young boys. And 6 months later, the young boy's bones were found in a Sussex field. Last December, Metropolitan Police announced that it was investigating possible murders linked to the Guesthouse. A new inquiry was opened up when an alleged victim came forward claiming to have witnessed three boys being killed, including one allegedly strangled by a conservative MP during a depraved sex game. In December, Vishal's father, a retired magistrate, told The Telegraph that he had recorded a mystery caller saying that his son might have been taken to the Elm Guest House. He took the recording to police at the time, but they refused to investigate an allegation implicating judges and politicians. So, again, Mr. Mehrotra has said that it has been a huge cover-up. And after The Telegraph passed his complaint on to police, the Met launched an internal probe led by the Force's Directorate of Professional Standards. That investigation has now been handed over to the Independent Police Watchdog, which will decide whether the original case was handled correctly. So can you say fox guarding the hen house again here? But again, this whole pedophilia ring thing that's going on in the UK and also seems to be bleeding over into the United States is a super huge deal, and I really hope that they crack this thing wide open, and I'm hoping that Scotland Yard will actually take some care and actually get something done. Oh, let's see here. Okay. I just want to say also some news out of Iraq. The security forces did manage to liberate Al-Askari, which is a neighborhood in the Alam district of eastern Salah al-Din, on Wednesday. So again, moving through to Crete, moving down that road towards Mosul. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Also, people asking yesterday a couple of questions about what Iran was going to be getting out of this deal, right? Why is Iran helping Iraq? Well, news out of the Iraqi news also this morning says the Iraqi Justice Minister, Zamili, he assured while meeting with the Iranian ambassador for Iraq that the ministry's readiness to activate the agreement of exchange for prisoners concluding with both countries. So if you can translate what that means, essentially is that they are planning on doing a prisoner swap. So again, it's very interesting to see the sworn enemies of Iraq and Iran working so handedly together, especially now as Iraq is kind of coming out of the Stone Age again, and loving that. Thousands of protesters also joined forces to say no to GMOs in Poland. We talked a little bit about this back in February, but farmers in Poland have risen up against big ag and GMOs in one of the largest demonstrations of its kind the country has ever seen. They are demanding right now the right to sell their produce directly to the people, a total ban on GMO sales and production, the regulation of land grabs by biotech corporations like Monsanto, and implementation of a compensation scheme for farmers whose livelihoods have been damaged, and a change in the inheritance laws, which currently prohibits farmers from leaving land to their heirs. So they have been taking convoys of tractors. They're blocking roads in February as demonstrations occurred in hundreds of towns across the country. And now here, even in March, it has become it's carrying on. It's becoming even bigger and bigger. So they are basically taking their $100,000 tractors and they're shutting down the city. They surrounded the magistrate building there the other day. So again, people are pissed about this GMO thing, and people are really pissed about Monsanto, and I really can't blame them for that. So people in Poland standing up. Interesting to see the people of Poland there also standing up against something like GMO, which they recognize as a threat, but at the same time, you know, planning on sending quote-unquote advisor aids to the Ukraine at the behest of NATO. So you can see the division there exists amongst the population as well as, it, you know, just like the same way it does here. They understand some things, but, you know, maybe a lot of people are still on the wrong side of the fence in terms of who's running the show over there. Okay, let's jump into some national news now. Coming back over to the States, in a really widely expected move, the U.S. Justice Department has cleared now former Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson of civil rights violations after he shot and killed the unarmed teenager Michael Brown in August. So Wednesday's announcement closes the book on this federal investigation into the incident in which Wilson, a white police officer, killed the black 18-year-old man. The Justice Department said forensic evidence and other witnesses backed up Wilson's account that Brown fought with him, reached for the officer's gun, and then charged him. According to the New York Times, and Wilson repeatedly told investigators, both in state and federal, that he feared for his life. So again, really what it comes down to right now is that there's no evidence upon which prosecutors can really rely to disprove that what Wilson is stating, which is a subjective belief that he feared for his safety. So as long as he can stand on that and say, I feared for my safety, boom. I don't know, Carolina, you might be right, but at the same time, okay, Carolina girl in the chat room right now suggesting we might be ready for more riots. And yeah, I kind of see that too. But at the same time, this report hasn't completely come out yet from the Justice Department. But one of the things that they did say in this Justice Department, not only, of course, they're dismissing, Darren Wilson, but they are indicting the entire police department of Ferguson. They have come out with some pretty staunch words against Ferguson department as a whole. So we're going to go to this quick 3-minute break. We'll come back and I'll talk to you about the rest of this report and what they're saying about the police department there in Ferguson as a whole. So much more news to cover. I hope you guys are getting a lot out of the show today. Definitely I'd like to buy a vowel. Definitely stick around for the 3-minute break, because when we come back, we'll have lots more news, and then Greg Morse will be joining us at the 11 o'clock hour, which is about a half hour from now. Hope you guys are well. Keep it right here. We'll be right back, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Lip Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Thank you all who are in the chat room right now. My gosh, the chat room is filling up. Kevin Baker's in there. Oh man, it's so nice to be supported by other hosts. I gotta tell you guys, if you're not listening to Kev Baker's show, you're not doing yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen, because the guy is a genius, as are most of the hosts here at Truth Frequency. Just love these guys. Love these guys. Love that they show up in the chat room, talk to you guys as well. I hope you guys are having fun in the chat room, and I really appreciate you guys being in there. It's the forum aspect of this whole network that makes this thing really work. Okay, so we were talking about before the break the fact that the Department of Justice has declined to say that any of Darren Wilson's behavior when he shot Michael Brown was based on prejudice, and that's fine. So we'll get aside from that. But the rest of the report, again, has not been released yet. But according to some anonymous federal law enforcement officials, and then this is what they told the Associated Press, this report does chronicle discriminatory practices across the city's criminal justice system. It detailing problems from initial encounters with police officers to treatment in the municipal court and jail. The officials told the AP, the investigation found that in a city that is 67% African American, blacks were 68% less likely than others to have their cases dismissed by a municipal court judge. The officials also found that 88% of the time use of excessive force was documented by police. It was being used against a black individual, and that of the city's 53 police officers, only 3 of them were black. So there you go. At least the Department of Justice is saying that Ferguson does have a history of discriminatory practices, both in initial encounters with people on the street and as well as in the legal system there. Probably not a surprise to anybody here. Okay, moving on. A London man, a web designer actually from London, is facing possible life sentence in the United States following his extradition. Hang on, I'm going to read something in the chat room here. Do I think all police brutality is being pushed by the media is just an attempt to create the circumstances that would make it acceptable by the public to privatize the police? Well, I'll tell you what, PRC, I hope that that's what they're trying to do, because that's exactly what needs to happen. We need to privatize the police. Most people probably don't understand the police are already privatized. They're already corporate entities. And in our country, I don't know how it is in the UK. Maybe Kev can chime in on the chat room here. But, you know, here in my little tiny town, we've got 4 layers of law enforcement. We've got the federal law enforcement. You've got your state patrol, you got your county patrol, and then you've got your city cops. And all of those people are connected. That's all a federal system. They're all connected and independently. And you're asking about private police forces, okay? My first example, obviously, is always going to be Dale Brown up at the Detroit Threat Management Center. If you guys don't know Dale Brown and what he has done in Detroit, he's got 2 decades of quality results to show for his private police report or private police force. We also had the story just yesterday about that town southeast of Houston that fired their whole police department because they weren't efficient. They're saving $200,000 a year and they have private guards. That's exactly what we need in this country. There's no reason at all at this point with the discussion that's on the table right now about what we want from law enforcement that these people in these municipal law enforcement roles should have a job. There's no reason that a city needs to be out generating revenue. None of that. It's all garbage. It's garbage. We have volunteer firefighters. Half of the fire dividing program in this country is volunteer based, guys. That's it. You know, we can do that with law enforcement. We need no law enforcement. We need private peace officers that are well supervised. Private peace officers that are well supervised. That's what we need. And we need them to stay in the police department until something happens that they need to go out and deal with it. Just like a fire, you know, fighter does, just like the EMTs do. There's absolutely no reason. Federalize is the word now we're talking about. That's a different word, and I totally agree with you, PRC. She's saying, she was saying privatize is the wrong word. She was said federalized like Bush and Cheney did with the National Guard. It's already been federalized. I mean, that's what I'm saying about this multi-layered law enforcement, you know, the levels of law enforcement that we see in our country. It's already privatized. And you also have to understand that all your cities, all your counties, all your states are corporations. So all these people that get up every day and put on their fancy costumes like they're getting ready to go invade Poland, they're private agents for a corporation, which is why they're bonded, which is why it's very easy to tell them to piss off. Pardon my language. But I'm over all of this conjecture about what we need to do with law enforcement. The answers are on the table. Dale Brown has solved the problem. We have a template. We can take that template. We can spread it out across the world and we're done. No more municipal law enforcement. No more, people out there just trying to get money. That's the bottom line. Okay, moving back on. Anyway, this web designer from London right now, possibly facing a life sentence in the United States following his extradition. He was accused of working as a propagandist for Al-Qaeda and training to commit terrorist acts. The prosecutors announced Tuesday that Minh Quam Pham is charged with possession and the use of an AK-47 rifle in furtherance of crimes of violence and for receiving training and providing support to Al-Qaeda for the Arabian Peninsula. Which is the Yemeni branch of the terror group. Let's see here. The Vietnamese citizen allegedly boasted that he had traveled to Yemen in order to join the AQAP and to wage jihad on behalf of the AQAP. So, again, people saying that, this gentleman traveled to Yemen, was training with the Al-Qaeda terrorists there, and then came back to the United States. Apparently, he has been making contributions to the Al-Qaeda's English language magazine called Inspire, and prosecutors also say the publication may have helped the Boston Marathon bombers make their explosives. So anyway, this London media guru guy from London now facing a possible life sentence in the United States for providing aid to Al-Qaeda in Yemen, and also by because he was providing articles for that Inspire magazine. And Inspire magazine obviously potentially being a part of the reason that the Boston bombing happened, and now opening statements in the trial of the Boston Marathon bombing suspect Tsarnaev began yesterday morning in federal court. The accused now faces 30 charges connected to the bombings that killed three and injured more than 260, false flag. Prosecutors led by Assistant U.S. Attorney William Weinrib maintained that Tsarnaev was willingly involved in the plot and had even played a more integral role than his older brother and alleged co-conspirator Tamerlan. Weinrib said that they were motivated by the U.S. wars in Muslim nations. Not really sure I believe all that, but it's interesting to note that even though Tsarnaev has pled not guilty, his defense attorney essentially came out and said that he was guilty yesterday, right? In the opening round was like, yeah, we know he did it, but he wasn't as responsible as his brother was. And I'll tell you what, that's not a good defense attorney. When they come out in their opening statement and they say, yeah, we know he did it, that's not good. You got the wrong guy working for you there. So anyway, the Boston Marathon bombing trial opening up yesterday. Oh man, I don't even want to go down that road. We really need to get a guest on to talk about the Boston bombing, because I have a lot of doubts about that entire situation, especially have a lot of doubts about the ramifications of it after what happened in Boston with them going door to door and, you know, pointing rifles at people's families. Just absolutely, and I couldn't even believe that Massachusetts rolled over like that. Just unbelievable. Okay. Yes, PRC called that exactly right. Mistrial. Okay, David Petraeus. You know him, you love him. He was in charge of the CIA for a long time, right? Former CIA director and military commander David Petraeus. He has now reached a plea deal with the Justice Department as of Tuesday this week and has agreed to plead guilty to a misdemeanor charge of unauthorized removal and retention of classified material. This charge can lead up to 1 year in prison, but prosecutors are expected right now to recommend 2 years of probation and a very paltry $40,000 fine. So Petraeus admitted that he gave highly classified information, including identities of covert officers, war strategy, intelligence capabilities and mechanisms, diplomatic discussions, quotes, and deliberative discussions from high-level NSA council meetings, as well as discussions with President Barack Obama. All of that to his mistress, Paula Broadwell, who was an Army Reserve officer who was writing a biography about Petraeus at the time. He also gave her national defense information, including top-secret SEI and code word information. In 2012, Petraeus had initially denied giving Broadwell any of this information, but before the discovery that Petraeus had given the information to Broadwell, he had already resigned from his position as the CIA director after an FBI investigation of Petraeus' emails revealed the relationship with Broadwell. And Petraeus' emails were monitored because a woman named Jill Kelly told the FBI that she was receiving threatening emails, and the emails traced back to Broadwell. So officials said, originally said back in 2012, that Petraeus' affair with Broadwell had no effect on national security. But now, now apparently that's not the case. So anyway, this guy gave away all of this information, was the head of the CIA, 2 years probation, $40,000 fine. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, the CIA whistleblower that is getting ready to go spend 100 years in jail for disclosing the fact that Mossad was already lying to the nuclear inspectors regarding Iran. So, and that guy's going to go to jail for 100 years, and this guy gave away. I mean, did you listen to that list? Right, identities of covert officers. Bam! That's enough right there. That guy should be hung for treason. I mean, come on. It's good to be the king, I guess. Friend, good to have friends in high spaces. Here's a goofy story too. a suspect believed to be responsible for separate shooting incidents on the Maryland Intercountain Connector and near the NSA at Fort Meade, as well as other locations in the DC Baltimore area over the last 2 weeks, has now been captured and is in custody, according to the FBI public affairs specialist Amy J. Thorason. She said this just yesterday. The accused man has no terror-related ties. And this is according, again, to a federal official. And the suspect is also suspected in several other shootings in the D.C. Baltimore area over the last 2 weeks. Charges are pending against Hong Young of Beltsville, according to, again, an NBC Washington spokesperson there. And the suspect apparently suffers from mental health issues. I think there's a lot more to the story. I can tell when my voice goes way up like this that I think there's a lot more to this story than we're being told. And I'm just going to stick to that just by itself, because this is another, let's just say the name again, Hong Young of Beltsville. Okay. Are we picking up any kind of themes from today's show? We had an attack on a U.S. embassy guy in Seoul by what I would assume to be a gentleman from Asia. We've got shootings at the NSA and surrounding areas in D.C. and Baltimore also by I'm not trying to pigeonhole agents here right now. I'm just saying there seems to be a theme that's running through the news today for some strange reason. Perhaps these people are a good porno name. Oh, I love you guys in the chat room. You guys make me laugh so much. I just love being here with you guys. Thank you guys for being here. Okay. I want to talk a little too about this, this is a report that was authenticated this week by the United States government and then just kind of slipped under the radar, but a CIA psychological operations manual prepared by a CIA contractor for the Nicaraguan Contra, rebels was released this week and authenticated by the U.S. government. And it was talking about the value of assassinating someone on your own side to create a martyr for the cause. So again, the manual received a lot of publicity from the AP, the Washington Post, and other media, all the way back during 1984 during the presidential debate. So much so that Reagan was actually confronted with the following question on national television. Somebody asked him, "At this moment, we are confronted with the extraordinary story of a CIA guerrilla manual for the anti-Sandinista Contras, whom we are backing, which advocates not only assassinations of the Sandinistas, but of the hiring of criminals to assassinate the guerrillas we are supporting in order to create martyrs." I just wanted to put that out there because, again, little conjecture about whether or not that was an authentic document or not, but just more indications about how these false flag type events get started, how the CIA is responsible, how the CIA uses, psychology to essentially do things that we wouldn't ever typically expect them to be doing, killing their own, killing people they're supporting to create martyrs. Start looking at what's going on in ISIS, start looking at what's going on in Iraq right now, and you don't have to look far to see more examples of this exact thing. I got awesome news coming out of the state of Utah. Let me see if Chef's in the chat room right now. Hopefully he's listening out there. But the state of Utah passed the Bitcoin bill. This was HCR 6. substitute concurrent resolution on payment options for estate services. That just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? But what does it mean? It means it will allow the residents of the state to pay their taxes in Bitcoin. Yeah. The bill was introduced by State Representative Mark Roberts in January, backed by Senator Todd Wheeler. And the concurrent resolution encourages widespread use of the digital currency in the state and proposes the creation of a council on the payment options for state services to investigate the possibilities and outcomes of accepting Bitcoin as a payment method. The bill revolves, the bill resolved that the council should include the certain persons from the public as well as private entities such as representatives from the state treasurer's office, the division of finance, the state tax commission, department of technology services, etc. ad nauseum, and local advocacy groups in favor of Bitcoin. So why did Utah do this? Because Overstock. Because Overstock.com is in Utah, and Overstock obviously making major moves last year to accept Bitcoin in exchange for, products and as well as moving to a position where they can pay their employees with Bitcoin also. So anyway, I think that's a pretty cool deal. The state of Utah now going to be accepting Bitcoin as tax statements. That is interesting stuff, I think. Oh, I gotta come back to this story about the homeless guy. We had that story about the homeless guy who was gunned down in LA the other day. Remember, I can't remember. Well, that was the initial story. It was a homeless guy. People called him Africa or Cameroon, and he was gunned down in Skid Row on video, and it was pretty tragic. But the story has gotten way more crazy. So again, this guy was shot on Sunday by 6 police on Skid Row. And that was basically the story, right? But the story behind this guy now and his remarkable life is emerging as something far more complex. The 39-year-old identified by police after his death as Charles Saturnin Robinet was actually using a fake identity stolen from a French man to try and make a career in Hollywood. The man, known to his Skid Row friends as Africa or Cameroon, had stolen Mr. Robinet's identity in the late 1990s and used it to acquire a French passport to come to the United States. He moved to Los Angeles, and according to the L.A. Times, he began taking acting classes at the Beverly Hills Playhouse, which is a drama school whose alumni include George Clooney, Michelle Pfeiffer, Alec Baldwin, just to name a few. But he struggled to pay the fees. And in 2000, he was arrested after holding up a bank back in 2000 in the LA suburb of Thousand Oaks. Wearing a ski mask, armed with a gun, the man burst into a Wells Fargo bank, ordered everyone on the ground. He jumped the counter, demanded money from a teller, dragged the bank teller to the vault, and when the teller didn't have the key to open it, he pistol-whipped and kicked him, according to court documents. And again, the police officers who were recounting the state said that if he remembered correctly, that when this guy was arrested for robbing the bank, that he had told the police officers that he needed money to pay for his acting classes. And so he refused to plead guilty against the advice of his lawyer and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. He was released just in May of 2014, last year. The head of the rescue mission told Reuters on Monday that the man had been living in a tent outside of the mission for weeks and had a history of violent, erratic behavior because he had apparently been treated for mental illness while being in prison. When he was shot on Sunday, the police identified him from his fingerprints, which matched those of the bank heist committed by the Charles Robinet back in 2000. But French authorities came forward late on Tuesday and said Robinet is a law-abiding citizen who is very much alive and well in France. And the French Consul General in Los Angeles told the LA Times that the identity theft was discovered after the man was convicted of the bank robbery, and officials began preparing the paperwork to deport him, thinking he was a French citizen. French officials notified their U.S. counterparts when they realized the man was not the real Robinet, but they don't know what happened after that. They also said that they were in touch with the kids in Cameroon, but Cameroon authorities never really got back to them and never actually confirmed that the guy was from Cameroon. So he's been living on the street to L.A. But isn't that interesting? And it just makes you think, just want to stop and say for a second, everybody has a story. Every single person out there is the star in their own, they're a starring role in their own story. And, we see situations like this, and it could have just been swept under the rug. It could have just been, police brutality and another thing, and we just all forgot about it. But that guy had a crazy story, and it just makes you wonder who else out there has got crazy stories like that too, you know? Okay. Moving right along here. I'm going to jump over into some economic news right now. Let's see. Cause again, lots of stuff going on in the economic world right now. Let's see what is going on. The Dow is currently up right now. The Dow is up at 18,142 points. S&P also up right at 2,100 right now. Dollar index is unbelievable right now. This is 96.48 on the dollar index. So we were asking yesterday about safe haven buying, and I noticed Bitcoin, but apparently the dollar itself is the safe haven buying right now, because really the Dow only being up 40 points, that's relatively flat trading going into the middle of the day here. So gold, 1202, not any kind of movement there. Silver staying pretty flat also at 16240. And let's see what else is going on. Crude oil down just a touch today at 51.38. And looking at the wow. Every time I do this, it astounds me. But I get over to this euro US dollar, and the euro is falling again, ladies and gentlemen. We are at 110.1. 1.101 right now for the euro against the US dollar. Bitcoin still staying pretty high. We're at 260 on the Bitcoin right now, and I wonder if that news out of Utah will have any effect on the trade of Bitcoin right now. Baltic Dry Index looks like it is up another 6 points today, sitting at 559. So again, there are products being moved across the globe, so that is good. I just got it for you, brother. Truth, I'm looking at 559 according to Bloomberg Business right meow. So there you go. Okay, what else do we want to talk about? Oh, I got to talk about this. This is wild. Sovereign Man, we had him on the show the other day, but he apparently took a trip to Bangkok over the weekend, which is in Thailand. And so he saw a billboard, and the billboard is up, and this is pretty astounding. It is actually, there are billboards going up in China and around Southeast Asia advertising the renminbi now as the new world reserve currency. They are advertising it on the billboards now. Again, it says RMB, new choice, the world currency. And given that the Bank of China is more than 70% owned by the government of the People's Republic of China, it was probably a fairly significant development. So again, they are literally advertising their own currency overseas, and they're making sure that everyone landing at one of these busy airports knows it. So again, just pay attention. Things are going on behind the scenes right now economically on a global scale, and I think most of it is good news. I'm hoping most of it is good news. Let's move on here to go back to Ukraine right now, because, again, a little bit more economic news coming out of the Ukraine. I find this to be very interesting right now. The Ukraine is building what they are calling a modernization agency, which is seeking to revive the war-torn economy. Okay. What phase of the plan would we call this, guys? Given what we know about the way these wars lay out, we go in, we drop the economy down. I mean, the hryvnia is trading at like 4 cents right now, right? And now we're going to use 250 influential business people and politicians from the Ukraine and the EU. They're gathered in Vienna right now to discuss ways to salvage Ukraine's devastated economy and reforms needed to bring back investments to the country. So, okay, we go in, we impose our ruler. But not before we spend $6 billion destabilizing the minds and the hearts of the people. Thank you, George Soros. And then we get our people in there, and we drive the value of the economy down. We create absolute chaos, million displaced people. It's just absolutely crazy. And then we have the audacity, ladies and gentlemen, to try and create a forum now, to create a modernization agency. How Orwellian is that? So we now are going to put rich people in charge of fixing the mess that the rich people just created in the Ukraine. You think that there are billions of dollars to be made right now? I think that there are, and I think that's exactly what is going on. So again, the forum on the Austrian capital served as an ideal platform for loud rhetoric, as well as the announcement of the creation of a government body to lead economic and political reforms, the agencies for Ukraine's modernization. Let's just stop right there and remind everybody that Ukraine has faster internet than we do, okay? That's the bottom line. They're only really second to Estonia, which, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, Estonia's internet is like 7 times faster than ours. So clearly, they need an agency for the modernization of Ukraine, because all these people living in townhouses with faster internet than us, they're so behind the times, right? How dare they? I mean, yeah, there needs to be some modernization now, because we've got to rebuild all the infrastructure that we just destroyed and try and rebuild all the lives. But this is it. This isn't the Ukrainian people coming together. This is the head of the Federation, head of employees of the Ukraine. These are absolutely puppets of the banking sector getting together to create this quote unquote agency, this Orwellian agency, to try and pretend that they've got some answers to rebuild. So it's disgusting to me. It absolutely is disgusting to me to watch this going on. And I'll tell you right now, you can't get a Rivnia over here. They've already introduced sanctions. So if you're one of those people that like I don't know, speculates in currency, I'd be trying to buy a bunch of Rivnia right now, because I bet you're on a 10-year track right now, but between how long it's going to take this stupid agency of reform to get back on the bandwagon here and get this country back on track, that would be a, if I could do it, I'd be doubling down on Rivnia right now, because this is how the game is played, ladies and gentlemen, and we are witnessing it unrolling right now. Also want to talk about the Royal Bank of Scotland. There are so many big things going on economically right now. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning behind a paywall that I couldn't read, but it's basically talking about the Federal Reserve of the United States in New York right now has been stripped of their power to regulate. And this was in the Wall Street Journal. Again, I didn't get a chance to read it all this morning because, again, it's behind a paywall, and I hate paywalls. But essentially, there's a new regulatory agency from Washington that is in charge of everything that the Federal Reserve does now. As of yesterday. So we need to get into that again. So much going on. Anyway, here the story about Royal Bank of Scotland. They're drastically cutting their investment banking unit. This is a big story, guys. Media reporting right now suggesting they may fire as many as 14,000 employees out of the department's 18,000 people workforce. They're all going to be laid off by 2019, mainly in Asia and the United States. So the investment banking department of RBS currently right now employs about 18,000 people. It will quit 25 of 38 countries in which it operates. Can you say RBS has been handed its hat and told to get the heck out of here? That's exactly what has happened here. They're quitting 25 countries of the 38 in which it operates. FT reports also referring to people familiar with the matter that although the sources could provide exact figures, the changes will concern 4 out of 5 employees in the investment banking unit. The majority of the job cuts are expected in the U.S. and in Asia. It will cost between $2.5 billion and $3.5 billion. Last week, RBS announced plans to sell or phase out businesses in countries such as China, Indonesia, Malaysia, South Korea, India, and Thailand. At the same time, RBS will continue trading in the UK, USA, and Singapore. This large number of layoffs is set to be part of RBS's restructuring plan, codenamed Project Brown. So much going on with this story, ladies and gentlemen. Another British financial giant, Barclays, has also decided to tighten its financial policy by putting $1.25 billion in reserves. Listen to that. British financial giant Barclays has decided, as if they had a choice, to fight in its financial policy by putting 1.25 billion francs into reserve. That's not them doing that. That's them being told to do that by the organization that's now in charge of this group. That's about as much as I'm going to say about that. But lots of economic stuff. I almost got you guys through all the news today. Appreciate you guys being here. When we come back, Greg Morse, we're going to be talking about mortgage scandal. I really appreciate you guys being here. This is going to be a big one. So keep it right here. 3-minute break, guys. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com and and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
You're listening to the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys in the chat room. We have a full house in the chat room today. And I think people are lined up so that they can get an opportunity to speak with you, Greg. For new listeners out there, we've got a very special guest today. Greg has been one of our longstanding guests here at Red Pill Reports. And this gentleman, Greg Morse, is absolutely at the tip of the spear in breaking all of these mortgage scandal crises that are going on across our country right now. And we've been trying to do everything that we can to support him. And I really want to recommend that you guys pay attention very closely to this interview today, because we're going to break this down. We've got a lot of new listeners out there, and I really want to bring people up to speed. And so for those of you guys who aren't familiar with Greg Morse, let me just break it down for you. He was an F-4 Phantom driver for the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy, and also a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy. He was self-employed for over 30 years in the real estate and all areas of the aviation industry. He was also one of the very small groups of people that uncovered the savings and loan crisis back in 1985. Then he discovered over 1,000 individual acts of fraud and statute violations in his home mortgage, so he filed a federal RICO lawsuit for mortgage fraud as a pro se plaintiff. This is not a foreclosure defense case. He's never been late. He's never missed a payment on his mortgage. So Greg is now asking, as are we, for all Americans to join him in calling for an open and public federal joint congressional investigation hearing and testimony regarding the mortgage crisis and the funding of terrorist activity with funds that were generated by the mortgage crisis and then funneled into terrorist groups by those private and governmental entities and individuals involved were perpetrating the mortgage crisis. So we're going to talk about some pretty heavy-duty stuff today. Greg, first and foremost, thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to once again join us on the program today.
Thank you, JD. Appreciate you having me.
Always. You know you're more than welcome every day, brother. So for the new listeners out there, since we do have a lot of new listeners, I want to go ahead and try and break this thing down to the brass tacks. Where do you think we should start with the new listeners today? Do you want to go over the mechanics of what actually happened or how you came to find out about all of this? What do you think is going to give them the most benefit today, sir?
You could have asked me any question but that one.
I know, right?
That's like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant in a relatively short show. I'm not sure if we effectively have the time to bring the new listeners up to speed with the old listeners from the get-go. So I really honestly need to leave that in your hands as to where you, because you know your listeners best. And well, so maybe you ought to tell me where we ought to start.
I think what we ought to do first and foremost, since let's start with the baseline issue. You obviously have been kind of leading this charge. You were part of the group again that discovered the savings and loan stuff. So you've already got a pretty good handle on the legality of mortgages and how all this stuff works. But for those people who maybe are unfamiliar with the mortgage process as it stands right now, why don't we just break that down for people so people understand, you know, mechanically what's actually going on with their mortgages and why you found concern or are concerned now that some of these titles are not valid anymore, sir.
All right, let me give you the 2 or 3 minute short version. Here's what happened. You went out, you got a mortgage on your home, thinking you were just doing that, getting a mortgage on your home. Little did you know that the entire system for the last 35 years, since 1971, has been being concocted, developed, and refined such that when you went to get your mortgage, you were an unknowing victim of a completely pre-engineered RICO, Racketeer Influence, Corrupt Organizations Act mortgage fraud. The SNL debacle was the trial balloon to see how it would work in a smaller demographic, that being the commercial SNL business. This is a full-blown, largest pre-engineered RICO fraud in history. It's the largest income tax evasion fraud in history, and it is the largest securities trading fraud in history. You go in, you get your mortgage, you think you're going to go home and plant flowers and let the dog out and paint your walls. Not so. Probably by the time you woke up the next morning, your mortgage had already been destroyed, both the actual documents, many of them were actually destroyed, and your mortgage had already been moved into an illegal organization that is operating across the country without state legal support or federal legal support, and that's called MERS, Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems. That is not the cause of the problem. They are not the ones that did it. They are the administrative implementers of the fraud that was pre-engineered by the very people that you borrowed your money from. All the major banks, the American Land Title Association, ALTA, all the major players who are the stockholders and the owners and the board of member directors of MERS are the same people you borrowed your money from. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who paid certain lawyers out of Florida and elsewhere to build the mechanical system that could be administratively implemented that would take your mortgage from the day you did it on a Monday to where it would be in trade before that week was out as a fraudulently securitized trading document called a security. Mm-hmm. Don't confuse the words. Securitization is the process. Security is the document that's traded. And at that point, your chain of title is totally gone. Your chain of title forevermore from that point is gone.
Let's talk about that for just a second for people out there unfamiliar with that term. I know we've gone over it before, but what is a chain of title? What does that mean? What does that phrase come from? You know, why is that important to us?
Chain is just what it says. It's one link connected to another link connected to another link. And each one of those links in the chain is a mortgage transaction on the deed that represents the property that you think you own. So let's go back and let's use Texas as an example. You go back to the days of the Spanish land grant and an old farmer, whatever, is given by the legally
right
on day one, a 1,000 acres. Okay, he's the first owner. Every time
the birth of the chain of title is right then.
Exactly.
Okay.
And every time he makes a change in that property, whether he trades it, barters it, sells it, doesn't matter. Whenever, or assigns it to a loved one, it doesn't matter. Whenever any transactions take place, every single one of those transactions is a chain.
Uh-huh.
Now, under federal law, it was established by the unanimously supported Supreme Court ruling, which then makes it law, is the case called Carpenter versus Longan, L-O-N-G-A-N. That case says the following in short. The deed of trust or mortgage, depending upon the terminology used based on the state you're in, if that document, which represents the legal description of the property and supposedly the chain of title, is separated from the promissory note, which is the fiduciary instrument that in legal situations represents a legal debt against that legal property description. If those two things are ever separated, they both become nullities. That means that you own your house. There is no mortgage on the house, and the only point for discussion is that if you litigated, you might have to fight the fact that the pretender lender would claim that you had an unsecured promissory note in the amount of the money they claimed they loaned you, which they did not.
Right.
That you might have to pay back. Chances of them perfecting that is very slim. But the fact of the matter is you were not loaned money. That's the first key thing that people must understand. You think you went to John Doe Mortgage Company and they loaned you $300,000 to buy your house. That's not what happened.
No. Nope.
They didn't come out of pocket with a penny. Now, if you understand anything about contract law or anything about actual sales, that's the term, actual sales, a true sale, there has to be two parties at least, each of whom contributes something tangible to the process.
Yes.
If they don't come forth with real money out of their pocketbook that was their property, that's a fraudulent sale.
Or if they lie to you and they say they have the money sitting there in the vault ready to go, that's also fraud.
Absolutely. Hmm? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what these people did was they securitized and they went to their Fed window. They made an electronic transaction only. No real cash. They used your name, your social security number, yep, your sweat, your tears, your life force, and they pledged that in return for an electronic credit to them, which they then passed on to whoever the home seller
That's
was.
That's correct. We're talking about monetizing a promissory note. They take your promise of time, talent, and energy, and then they use that as the leverage. And then, of course, fractional reserve lending, once they have your signature and you put that number in the book, they can loan out nine times more. That's a good job if you can get it, Greg.
Yeah, it's a great deal. But you see, people think that they're buying a home, but they're not.
Right.
Because from the get-go, your transaction was fraudulent. Mm-hmm. Now, for those people who have houses and think they're not affected, you're probably wrong. Go to our website at saveourfamilyandhome.com, and at the very top in blue, in a single line of blue letters, at the top of the page, it says how to determine if your mortgage is compromised.
Yes.
Click on that link. Go take 15 to 30 minutes. Go through the checklist, and I think it'll ruin your day. But you better know. But you better know what's happening.
Well, again, because look at what you're doing, where you were able to file this federal civil RICO suit, nobody's foreclosing on you. You basically put a knife in your teeth and said, I'm going to deal with this right now. And that's the position we'd rather be in, right? If you can look at your mortgage before anybody tries to come and, you know, make false claims against you and say, whoa, I can identify a problem here. Now's the time to go after it. That's what we'd rather be doing, right? You'd rather be in the driver's seat than in the back seat, in my opinion.
Yeah, you have to be. If you're recalcitrant or type B personality or laid back about everything that has the attitude, oh, well, if I just keep my head down and don't listen to any shows, don't try to get smart, don't try to do anything, you know, active as an actionist, it'll go away. You're on the list. They will come after you. It's just a matter of where you are on the list and how many people they have to go to first.
Right.
Because here's the problem. It's a fraudulent sale. They've made $1 trillion out of it, literally. Right now it's estimated to be over $3 quadrillion.
Is a jillion, is that a real word? I mean,
don't think so. I use it because there's so many numbers in a quadrillion, I can't even fathom it. So the only word I could think of that would be more, emotionally effectual for people is to say jillion. I don't know if it's a real term, but quadrillion is a real word and it's over $3 quadrillion now. So that means that since there's only $13 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve's reports and the GAO reports of total residential property value in this country, how many times does $13 trillion
go into a jillion?
Into three quadrillion or a jillion? It's infinite. How do they come up with this money? It's all a Ponzi scheme.
Yes.
Using the fractional reserve banking system that all went through MERS, because there's over 70 million mortgages. There may be as many as 90, but we know based on deposition and document disclosure through the cease and desist lawsuit that 20 agencies of the federal government put against MERS, although it was a show trial. They admitted they had over 70 million mortgages at play in their computer data banks.
Wow.
MERS playing in this business, by definition, breaks the chain of title. What that means is you're going to make every payment that you make. Let's just assume that an individual is going to stay in the house, make all 360 payments in a 30-year mortgage. At the end of that time, you're not going to own your home.
Okay, and let's talk about that, because so MERS essentially took over what the county recorder office used to do. All of those chain of title changes that we talked about used to be recorded at the county level, correct?
Yes, but you see, every time they did that, it's an illegal act. Because there is no state in the nation that has gone to their congresses in their state capitals and got laws passed which said, okay, we as the county recorder's office who have the dictates from our state congress to make sure that properties in our state are not devastated, we're just going to... That's never happened. It's never happened in one state in this nation. Now, there have been a lot of people in the mortgage business that will lie about it. We happen to have a lot of the administrative notes and the actual rules that have addressed MERS, at least in the state of Texas. It doesn't even come close to saying that MERS is hereby authorized to legally, with full force and effect, take the place of the county recorder's office.
Wow. And yet they're winning lawsuits all over the country now. People are challenging them, and they seem to be winning pretty handedly.
That's what they claim. But here's what we have found after researching many of their lawsuits. If you go to their legal section on their website, they say exactly what you say. Oh boy, we're winning, we're great, everything we've done is fine.
Right.
If that's the case, how come 20 agencies of the federal government said that you were totally illegal and we've got all these cease and desist items which you have got to comply with? They were slam dunked negative by the 20 agencies. They said everything you're doing is a facade.
Wow.
You gotta stop doing this. And then the cease and desist order is not being adjudicated and enforced. You explain that to me.
Well, I can't, though. I mean, well, I can explain it by saying, America, welcome to our Justice Department that has no cojones or any inclination to go after any of these criminal gangbangsters, as I like to call them. I mean, that's the only explanation I have, is that we're surrounded by all of these corporate criminal issues, and there doesn't seem to be anybody in a position who actually gives a crap about that. I mean, you've taken all this stuff to everybody who specifically should be concerned about this. The IRS, I mean, we're talking about the largest tax evasion in the history of the world. If the IRS was actually working for the people, which we know they're not because they're a private corporation, but I mean, you've done everything that was supposed to be done in terms of getting this information into the hands of the correct people, and we see nothing, Greg. We see nothing.
It's most frustrating thing in 64 years I've ever, I used to think that, building a, you know, a multi-hundred-million-dollar airport with all of its complexities was a big deal. That was child's, that was a duck walking on water compared to this dead gun thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen such an uncontrolled, exacerbated, total flippant approach towards massive criminality in my entire. When you go read those cases from MERS, here's what you'll find predominantly. There may be one or two exceptions where they got an outright legitimate win. What you'll find is that most of those cases have been dismissed by the judges at hand. They have not been adjudicated by a jury. And what you find is that they were dismissed on frivolous basis. The wrong size. Your procedure in filing was wrong. You were a day late. You didn't write it correctly.
Right.
It's not that MERS is outright having a fair fight in a boxing ring with proper judges, the right donger, and all that sort of stuff, you know, to say we really did win in law. We are legal to do what we're doing. But they've not done that. Now, see, MERS is an electronic book-only entry system. What does that say? Number one, it says it's electronic. There's no paper. Number two, it's, and they go read it on their website. They admit all of this. We were able to break the code. We got behind the firewalls that were not really firewalls. They were, search-related encryption tactics where they actually have about 9 different menus on their website. You just don't realize it. And if you get into those, they're not encrypted. So we didn't hack anybody. We didn't have to. All of our, evidence has been obtained absolutely in accordance with the federal rules of evidence.
Right.
So all of their menus are on the front page. You just don't know what icon or what letter you have to press on to open up another whole plethora of menus. Well, when you finally figure that out and you get all of their documents, which they now know, but they didn't know that we actually got them. There are instructions in their manuals that tell all of their, mortgage bankers, brokers, and lenders that after 30 days, please destroy the paperwork.
What?
It says it in the manual. I'm going to produce this on the floor of the Congress.
Right.
Now, you understand that every state in the nation says you've got to have the real paperwork or you don't have a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So when MERS says destroy the paperwork, they are telling that is a conspiratorial act of illegality and fraud. you cannot destroy the paperwork without destroying the chain of title. So in my case, well, I'm not going to go into that. Here's the point. MERS has been the operative administrative implementation arm that allowed the, as you say, gangbangsters, good term.
Thanks.
To be able to destroy, accumulate, put into trust, securitize, and forevermore destroy millions of titles in a very short period of time because they can do it as fast.
Wow. Okay.
Now that's the reality. You can go to the website, click on documents for download in the big blue icon on the left, go to the whistleblower section. You will find a document in there. I don't remember. There's only like five or six of them under that particular section, but they're very long. One of them is called a Jurat affidavit. If you want to understand in great detail, listener, what we're talking about, open up that document. You can download it. Everything is free on the website. We're not monetizing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just go download the thing. That affidavit is 279 pages long. I wrote it. Good, bad, or indifferent. Yes, there is some built-in redundancy, so don't criticize us about that because people have to be told things more than once to get it. Go read the document, and it will tell you specifically the technical ins and outs of how MERS did this.
Right. I want to just put a throw out there, too. All those documents are available at redpillreports.com, and we've got a special sidebar just for Greg Morse's stuff. So if you're having trouble finding it at saveourfamilyandhome.com, you can also look for it at redpillreports.com. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Greg.
No, it's fine. The bottom line is this. MERS is being able to operate because of the, in my opinion, the co-conspirator after the fact behavior of both the legal system, the banking system, and the federal government.
Right. Didn't you predict all of this, though, Greg? I mean, going back, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you already kind of think all of this stuff was coming down the pike after your experience with the savings and loan?
Yeah, I wrote an article that went viral on the internet in the form of a press release, and that document, if you're interested, you can all, it's right at the top of the page on our website at saveourfamilyandhome.com. It says what I predicted, excuse me, in 2010. That's not because I'm clairvoyant. I'm just no fighter pilot. I'm not clairvoyant at all. But that's what the evidence that we had in our possession in 2010. Now we're up from 11,000 over 20,000 pages of publicly accessed legal corroborated evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that evidence that we had in 2010 clearly indicated that this is what was going to happen. The bankruptcies were going to start. They were going to sell off the dadgum mortgages. They were going to make bankruptcy remote all of the buyers of these mortgages, as is taking place in Judge Martin Glynn's New York bankruptcy court on behalf of the largest bankruptcy in American history. 51 previously stated, oh, we're all separate. We have nothing to do with anybody but ourselves. They all lied. They're all part of RESCAP. They were nothing but wholly owned subsidiaries operating under a different name, but operating under the umbrella of Residential Capital. They all filed bankruptcy in 2012 on the same day at the same time with the same petition, and the dang petition was 570-something pages long.
Wow.
So that tells you how massive it was. They're now selling off $400 billion worth of mortgages that are already destroyed to Warren Buffett, who owns Berkshire Hathaway's, and Ocwen Loan Servicing. Ocwen is owned by India, the place where they have a lot of camels and stuff.
That's not
it's not even American. It's
right?
An Indian under attack for fraud in almost all the 50 states. They're dirty as sin, and they're being attacked by everybody because of what they're doing. Fraudulent foreclosures, illegal foreclosures,
right.
Doubling of the principal. I mean, they're just out of control. But the courts, for some reason, unless they're on the take, are supporting this activity. And Martin Glynn has given Warren Buffett, one of the dirtiest men in this nation, an Ocwen Loan Servicing bankruptcy remote status, which means that you, the homeowner, if you're just now today, you've been living in a cloud, and you just woke up today and you go to the website, you follow the checklist, and you go, dear Lord, my tile is destroyed. I'm really mad. Now I got to do something about it. And you find out your house was in that mortgage bankruptcy.
Right.
You can't do a thing about it because when they get bankruptcy remote status, that means you can't even go after them. You can't sue them. You can't get discovery. You can't get any documents. You are literally screwed.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about then what your response to that was, which is obviously the pro se plaintiff RICO lawsuit. Will you kind of talk a little bit just about, we've only got about 2 minutes left before we have to go to a break, but what is the significance of a pro se plaintiff RICO lawsuit? I don't know if everybody knows what those words mean and what that means in terms of legality. So if you could kind of talk about your initiative and how it's supposed to work, that would be awesome.
RICO stands for Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act. It is the most punitive, toughest, strongest balance beam criminal act in the United States Code. Under Section 1964 in that act, there is a very long section with a lot of appendices which nobody knows about typically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody is not, you know, all is never, all never is never, never. But the preponderance of people, 99% of the people, both in the legal system and without, don't even know that 1964 is there.
Really?
Yeah, they don't even understand it.
Okay.
You have no idea how many major Fortune 200 law firms have contacted us over the last 6 years and said, you're crazy, you fool. You can't sue somebody civilly under a criminal statute. Yeah, we can, you dumbbell. You're the guy with the bar license and the law degree.
Right.
Why don't you go learn your job for a change? I'm angry about it, and well, I'm not pulling any punches anymore.
That is their job, unfortunately, as officers of the court, which is what you are when you have the British accreditation registration behind your name.
That's right.
That's why you're not supposed to litigate in a court in America with a title of nobility. But, I mean, that's like a whole other – again, you know, that's, I guess, the biggest issue.
But it's true, JD.
Well, I know it's true, and that's the biggest issue I think you're up against is that you're trying to use law in a court system that is really has no basis in law anymore, Greg. And, I mean, I know that there is a path to this remedy, and I believe that you're on it, and I definitely think that we can get there together. But, man, what a battle you're up against, brother, up against these people – you're talking about the most refined, efficient criminal organization that's ever been walking the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned. And that's
an exaggeration.
No.
Honest to God, people who are listening, that is not an exaggeration. Get off your duff. Wake up. Don't just wake up, but get turned on. Get informed and recognize that the nation you think, for those of us who have been in the stuff in the military, for those of you who think we're such a blessed, virginal Christian country, wake up.
Roger that. Okay, Greg, we got to go to a 3-minute break. We're going to come back. Everybody, stick around. Appreciate all of you guys in the chat room. We have a full house in the chat room today. I will try to open up the phone lines in a little while.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, D.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him, right here, on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you, big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah. I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Micro Plant Powder family. Micro Plant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you guys for being in the chat room today. Again, we have a full house in the chat room right now, and I just absolutely love having you guys in there. Lots of discussion about legality versus lawfulness and about all of the things that we're talking about with Greg Morse today. And I want to just point out for people out there that might be new to this whole thing, that when Greg was talking about this RICO lawsuit, why this RICO position is so important, goes back to something he said earlier about the idea that once a bankruptcy case has gone through, all of the ancillary information about that bankruptcy, who was involved, how much people paid for whatever, all of that stuff gets wiped off the board. You literally cannot get access to it. And the only way to get access to it is to be granted discovery through a RICO process, which is why Greg Morse's the path that he is going down, why it is so important and why it is going to be effective. And that's also, I wanted to just reiterate again that none of the information that Greg has gathered was gathered through unlawful or illegal, you know, methods. We weren't hacking systems and getting all this stuff illegally. All of this stuff is absolutely admissible in a court. So Greg, I think what people might want to know also is, since you started this lawsuit and have been up against this incredible, corporate collusion, ridiculous, you know, nightmare situation, where are we at with the lawsuit right now? Bring us up to speed on everything that's going on with you in that lawsuit, sir.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, so we got to get to that point. We are now legally and officially accepted in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the largest, most powerful, most influential granddaddy appeals court in the nation. Our case number is 15-595. So if you want to track it and see everything that's filed, please feel free. They have accepted all of our appellate claims. We have about 40 days to file our brief, which will be done on time. We have a number of people who have come out of very high places that have been tracking this case for a long time. They are above Supreme Court level in their knowledge and understanding of all of the idiocracy that's going on in the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tremendous amount of experience in knowing how to force this case if they don't settle it with us and admit at the Second Circuit level that we can get accepted in front of the American people at the Supreme Court. Those people have come for no money, no requests. They offered their help. They've blown me away with what they've done out of the goodness of their heart because they can't stand this anymore. The reason they waited till this point was that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has always been our target. We've been at this 3.5 years and we have yet to have our first hearing in 4 courts in 3 different states. Nobody wants to hear
right.
play games with us and keep the information from getting on the public recorded docket. So our goal has always been to get to the Second Circuit for 2 reasons. Number one, the majority of the cases that support the legality and the correctness and the morality of our case, those rules, those laws have all, for the 99% of them, all come out of the Second Circuit.
Okay.
Like Carpenter v. Long and Epstein v. Epstein, which says we can go in and if we prove RICO, we can go in and open up the ResCap bankruptcy. We can overturn that bankruptcy. We can go all the way back to the General Motors bankruptcy.
Wow.
And some of the heads of General Motors who were present at that time that know what on.
Mm-hmm.
They have contacted us and said they're willing to testify if we send them a subpoena.
Wow. So are you feeling like the sand is starting to shift underneath the feet of all these gangbangsters a little bit?
Well, you know me. I don't say it's done until it's done with a period and an exclamation point after it. But it appears to me that after 3.5 years and almost $3 million that people are starting to pay attention and understand that when we 3.5 years ago came out of the closet and said, we ain't stopping until we get to the Supreme Court and the Congress, if they don't kill us first or if there's any way we can do it. Well, they ain't going to kill us because they don't want to have a fight with us. Second, right. They've tried, but that hadn't worked. Secondly, we have been lucky enough, divine inspiration, whatever you want to call it, we're lucky enough to be where we want to be because if you go back and look at the legal history, they don't contradict their previously made rulings.
Meaning once this thing is case law, it's going to be case law.
When they decide that Epstein v. Epstein is real or Platsky v. CIA is real and it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court embraces it under law, that becomes law. That's what a precedent-setting case is. It was not passed by Congress. It went all the way through the appeals system, found in favor of whatever the ruling was, and the Supreme Court embraces it. It becomes law. Carpenter v. Longin. Those aren't just cases. That's the law.
Right.
Which says if you steal, you're going to go to jail. Okay. Now we finally got to the point in the same court on which our case is based. Now I can put it right in their face and say, were you serious when you did it?
Right.
Or was it a facade?
And so we're looking at 40 days until that briefing goes in front. What are the other mechanics that need to happen for people who aren't familiar with how it's going to proceed?
Well, the reason the strategy came to be what it is that RICO, Section 1964, says that if you are a private citizen and you suffer damages and you can prove that those damages stemmed from the conduction of RICO activities, you can claim civil damages under that criminal statute. That's what I'm telling you. It just blows my mind. Lawyers call and say, you can't sue. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
So the fact of the matter is you can get civil damages under a criminal statute, but it's based on the fact that a RICO enterprise, which this is, I don't want to get into that. We don't have the time, but this is a RICO enterprise and they created damages on all of us American citizens. So since they put damages on us, if we prove RICO, we can get compensated for those damages. And it's a big deal. It's not a three times. It's way more than that. Right. It's a big deal. So this is not about money for me, point, at all. And I don't care what anybody thinks. If they think I'm lying, I couldn't care less. That's not the fact. Because I'm 64, I'm not going to be around that much longer, so it just doesn't matter. I've had the toys, I've had the money, that's not the point. This is about saving our nation because from the early 1600s, JD, our entire country was founded based on the premise of private property ownership.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's number one on the top of the hit list. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to get away from a bad king and a bunch of guys in red uniforms. That was not the point. Study history.
No, it has to do with sovereignty. I mean, that's the, when the whole, we're talking about this land chain of title thing. People don't understand that the land grant that happened, you know, in the United States was a one-time thing. That's never happened before, where people were given the same rights as a king and being sovereign. And part of that is having agency and dominion, which means you need to have to be able to prove that your land that you own goes back to that original land grab. So this isn't just they're stealing your value. They're stealing your birthright when they're doing this.
That's exactly right. And that to me subtends all other concerns. Yes, there are many legitimate issues, but I'll put it to you this way. And you cover a lot of them very well on the show on a daily basis. But here's my analogy for your listeners to consider. If you walk up to your house, your grass is overgrown, your bushes need to be trimmed and shaped, the trees need to be cut down so your house looks better. Those are big issues. I understand that. But if you walk up and your house is fully engulfed in flame, really that concerned about the grass, the bushes, or the trees?
Right.
No. Our house is on fire.
I would say even more than that, if you show up at your house and there's some banker living there that doesn't want to let you in, that would be just as concerning to me, which is really where we are right now.
That's exactly where we are. So our strategy has been three things. One, to get it to the Second Circuit so I can challenge those people face on as a pro se plaintiff, because I haven't given up a lot of my rights by contracting with a lawyer. We don't have time to talk about how that happens and what happens, but that's what happens. If you hire a lawyer, you are giving him under law the right to speak for you. You're yes. giving up your rights.
Yeah.
Number two, so they can't stop me. I can talk to these bastards, pardon the language, any way I want to. Now, I'll be professional, but I won't let them use ledger domain and verbal games with me.
Right. Roger that.
It's going to get on the record as a plain old East Texas country boy fighter pilot, and they will hear me. I will do it extraordinarily professionally, but I'm not cutting any cheese with them. That's number one. Number two, we're going to put it in the face of the Second Circuit. Number three, that's a two-part process. One is a combination of going after the IRS and the SEC being the two most pervasive, most powerful, and two largest agencies of the federal government that have specific jurisdiction and congressional dictate,
yes,
legal mandate, and executive order mandate from the White House to stop this stuff, and they are embracing the continuation of it. They're not doing anything to even begin to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That means they are illegitimate agencies and they need to be shut down and done away with.
Which I don't think people understand. That could be the result of the successful RICO lawsuit against these people. I mean, you're talking about the one lawsuit right now, and by getting involved, listeners at home, we can have a hand in taking down all of the corporate criminal corruption all in one swoop.
That's right. It will be very painful. It will be disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a tea and crumpets cocktail party, ladies and gentlemen. This is an outright fight. And if you're not familiar with a fight, you better get ready, because you're going to have one, whether it's day, tomorrow, or 20 years from now, if this dadgum country even exists, and you make your last house payment. You're in the fight whether you want to be in it or not. The question is, do you want to be on the right side of history and a part of the solution, or do you want to be on the wrong side of history and a part of the problem?
That's because this
is the largest of 21 in PNAC land, asset, and money grab that's ever been perpetrated on the American people. And the dumbed down American people are just sitting around looking at football, dancing with the stars, whatever the devil they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing anything to get involved. We've been at this on the petition since November. We've still got less than 1,000 signatures. Come on, people. We got to get involved here. Because it costs you no money, it takes 2 minutes of your time,
yep,
and you can do the most powerful thing as an American citizen that you could ever do, and that is to join with millions of other Americans and help us get to the position where we can force the Secretary of the Senate and the Clerk of the House to give us an on-the-floor public media-covered hearing. It will make, as J.D. has said in the past, it will make the Iran-Contra hearings look like a daytime trip to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. And again, I got to point out, too, though, just to say, we talked about tea and crumpets. There will be tea and crumpets at the victory party. So just so you guys are aware out there, that the going through the battle, it's going to be rough, but we will have an enormous victory party when this is done. Because what will happen is all of our wealth will be returned to us, and it will be an amazing day in the future of America. And let's get into this petition thing, Greg. We don't have a lot of time, and I want to make sure people understand just how important it is and what the goal is with people who are signing up, who we're talking to specifically out there. Let's lay that out for people right now, sir.
Go to SaveOurFamilyAndHome.com. Great big rectangular red button at the top. Click on it. It takes 2 minutes, literally 120 seconds,
right,
to electronically fill out and sign the petition. Do not worry about it if you either don't own property or if you're not a registered voter. We collect that information because we're required to do it electronically and in paper for the Congress. That's the rule. That's why we're doing it electronically. So if people say, well, I don't like signing a petition electronically, get over it. It's the law. We have to do it. We haven't broken the law. We're beating them at their own game. We have to follow their procedures, so we don't give them an easy way to say, we're not going to give you a hearing because you didn't follow the rules. So sign the petition. It costs you no money. We keep that data. We don't give it to anybody. Right. The only time it will be disclosed is when we follow the rules and we have to submit a digital record and a printed on paper ink set of documents to prove that we have the number of petitioners that we're claiming to the Congress that we have. We need at least 25,000 for them to take us serious. If we get the 100,000 that we just basically frivolously put up there because I couldn't fathom that we wouldn't get 100,000 people in a month,
right.
I thought it would be way more than that. Mm-hmm. I could have put what I really want to see on there, and that's 3 to 5 million. Now, if you look at the numbers of mortgages that are affected, that are out there, that affects at 4.3 people per household average. It's over 250 million people in this nation, moms,
right,
dads, daughters, sons, that are directly affected by this. So I could not fathom that we couldn't get 1% or 2.5 million people out of this.
Oh, especially when you consider where this money is going. Once they leverage it and they're using it overseas to fund God only knows what, we've got American service people right now that are dying because of this money. This money is being used to foster this whole ISIS organization or who only knows what. They are using our own wealth against us in more ways than one, and in some pretty profound ways as well.
That's right. And then if you look and see who in Congress is participating with the Union Bank of Switzerland, I'll just give you one example of one guy. His name happens to be John Boehner, Boner, Booner, whatever his name is.
Right.
He has trading accounts at Union Bank of Switzerland.
We got it
directly from the clerk of the house on their formal financial disclosure documents. So you see, we don't break anything.
Right.
We don't hack anybody. We don't have to. These people are so stupid that they think they can put it out there in the public and nobody's going to care enough to go find it and throw it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we got a bunch of cowards out here.
Yeah, we do.
We got a lot of cowards in this country that always use verbal ledger domain to say, oh, well, it's not that bad. No, this guy's overreacting. No, we don't need good luck. You're going to the gas chamber.
Right. Roger
You're
that.
Going to the FEMA camp. If we don't get the American population, which if they will, is the largest, most powerful, moral high ground, nonviolent army on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because we have the moral high ground.
No, it's because we have a little document called the Constitution,
right,
that other nations do not have to fall back on and rely.
Mm-hmm.
So if we got the majority of people in this nation, which in our lingo is 3 to 5%, because that's all it's ever taken in this nation,
right,
to accomplish major change, starting with the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we got that 3 to 5%, that is, you know, do the math.
That's on 250.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge number.
Right.
There's no way they're going to be able to stop us.
That's
because
right.
Then we're going to be challenging with all the dirt on all of these congressmen and senators. We're going to be disclosing to their constituents and the world,
mm-hmm,
how these guys have been financially aggrandizing themselves by turning the other way when the laws they pass are not enforced. The courts that work for them don't enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the three monkeys. Hear nothing, see. We're going to show the world how those guys are doing that. They're going to have a heck of a hard time going back into their districts to explain away their criminal co-conspiratorial acts.
Oh, I would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, what does that mean? It means that this is going to be a very painful process, but the cancer in this country is not going to be eradicated unless we take on the fight.
That's right.
And the reason I developed this strategy, because it's my strategy, it's the only thing I lay claim to. We had to have a way to go at them legally, politically, and from the agency perspective. That's why in April 2014, I took on the IRS and the SEC as a formal, complying with the law, whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who are whistleblowers claim they're whistleblowers, and they may come out with great information, but they're not really legal whistleblowers. Ask them to produce their whistleblower filing documents. They can't give them to you because they didn't do it. Go to my website, my documents with my signature, my home address, my social security number. It's all there for you to see. We followed the law. That means that we're taking on the agencies that are the implementers, just as MERS was as a non-agency.
Yep.
They're theoretically a private corporation, but we're taking on the agencies that are perpetuating, that have the mandate to make the law be followed. They're not doing that.
Hmm.
We're going after Congress that gives a mandate that these things have got to be done. They're letting the courts not follow the law. You don't see judges being impeached. You don't see attorneys general going after judges. Well, we are. And why is that? Because they're all a member of this dang fool legal country club.
Yep.
Where I lie, you swear to it, we rub, rub, nudge, nudge, go to the country club, play golf and lie, chase women, whatever, all the dirty things they do, and nobody's trying to stop them. Well, people, this is our country.
Yep.
This is not their country. Get that through your heads, get on board with us, sign the petition, we would love anybody show up. In Washington. We are building a complete webinar system. We're a very small organization. We're underfunded, so it takes a long time to get this stuff done. But we have a lot of people who are already helping us research information like on John Boehner and all these other liars.
Greg, I got to interrupt you for a question. Somebody's asking in the chat room. Actually, I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, I know that you're very predominantly focused on the United States right now, but we are an international show, and there are some people just questioning, like, is this kind of thing been spotted in the UK, or are there other countries involved with this, to your knowledge right now, sir?
Here's the answer is yes, with a caveat. I cannot address and will not do so the laws of other nations. That's the caveat.
Okay.
Here's how it definitely has affected other nations. This home mortgage crisis is why Greece is bankrupt, period. Has nothing to do with fiat currency money system, has nothing to do with BRICS, has nothing to do with the new, what's the name of it? You talk about it all the time, that starts with an S, the new...
The SWIFT system.
Yeah, the SWIFT system. Has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It has to do with the fact that J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, they sold trillions of dollars of these false, valueless derivatives, which are nothing more than accumulated mortgages converted into a certificate that has no value. They sold these to these other nations because the nation said, if we buy these assets, they're good assets, they're in America, they're not fraudulent, and they'll pay us 6-7% a year, we need that money to run our country.
Right.
Well, they borrow the money to buy them, or they spend cash to buy them on whatever the exchange rate is, and the coupon rates don't come through. Why do you think so many derivatives buyers are suing Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, and all the rest of them? It's because they know they got taken on the lam.
Right? Wow.
This is the biggest fraud in the history of our nation. It's more important than chemtrails, GMO, and all the rest of it, because this is going to kill us long before these other things do. And I'm pretty savvy on most of this stuff.
Yeah. No,
as you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the point of it is you have to prioritize the magnitude of the fight. Are you going to fight the ant, or are you going to fight the dinosaur that's trampling on you?
Exactly. And I can't encourage people enough to go and sign this petition. It's available at saveourfamilyandhome.com. It's also available at the top of redpillreports.com. Bite the bullet, guys. Just sign it. I know everybody doesn't like signing things online, but we got to get behind Greg Morris. We got to get this initiative moving. Greg, I had another question from the chat room, if you don't mind. Someone was asking about alloidial titles and if they are still available or if you have any information about those.
Yeah, we know quite a bit about it, but not enough to speak to it definitively. What I will tell you is that the Alloidal Challenge cases that we've looked at, it is like going out in the middle of a crowd and calling yourself a sentient citizen. In the current state of this country, when you start claiming that you are going to get or you think you can get an Alloidal title, you get labeled as a nutcase. Nobody pays attention to you, and many people who have done it have ended up in jail. So I don't have all the pieces to that puzzle. I've talked to half a dozen of them that have spent time in the pen because all they were trying to do is to follow their state laws to try to acquire an Alloidal title. Next thing you know, they're sitting behind bars. I can't tell you all the ins and the outs about it, but my strong opinion is stay away from it.
Okay. Okay. Important safety tip from Greg Norse there, guys. Stay away from the Alloidal title issue. Another question from the chat room. We're just about out of time, but people are just curious if you think that this particular issue will be the catalyst or could be the catalyst for the American economic collapse or the global. I mean, is this it? Is this potentially going to be it?
I'm not. So if you take down the biggest fraud, financial and legal fraud in history, do the math.
Right.
Yeah, this is the thing that could puritize and re-virginalize our currency system, our banking system, and our legal system, which are the three legs on the stool on which this entire fool country was based as a social experiment by our founding fathers.
Well, I'll tell you what, they are, I think they're gearing up for you, brother. I read an article this morning out of the Wall Street Journal that says that there's now, there's been a takeover at the New York Fed. And this is again coming out in the Wall Street Journal this morning. There's a new group from Washington that is basically keeping track of everything the Fed did. And we also know that all the big banks globally now are Basel III compliant, which means they had to basically boost their reserves significantly in response to what happened in 2008. So I'm wondering right now if they have spent the last few years keeping you on the back burner because they knew when this thing got brought to the stage that the amount of bank collapses are going to be huge. And that's why we see them now hedging their bets with, getting the resource allocations under control with gold and things like that. What do you think about all that, Greg?
I couldn't even begin to think that we were a part of that process. That would be extraordinarily arrogant, and I have no indicative proof that that's even true. But what I will tell you is this. We do know they're watching this case. It's the largest RICO case in the nation. Mm-hmm. I'm the only pro se, and we've gotten further by far than anybody else has. We know the judges are worried about it. We know the lawyers are absolutely tripping, giving calls from people who used to work for Morrison Forrester, one of the largest legal firms in the nation that's representing all of the criminal banksters in the ResCap bankruptcy. They have called us and said, we were on the task force to work on your case. We have looked at your filings. We've looked at your evidence. And my God, you're so right. We are so illegal that they quit their jobs and moved from New York to California.
Holy cow. Well, I think that's a good sign then, brother, because I really think that there is a lot of sand shifting beneath the foundation of the Fed and the foundation, beneath Congress and all these idiots right now. So I want to first of all, let me thank you again, Greg, for coming on the program today. We are just about out of time. And I want to highly recommend again, ladies and gentlemen, please go to saveourfamilyandhome.com or redpillreports.com. You can find all of these documents linked to the petition is at both places. Just get involved. Whatever you do, just get involved. Greg, thank you again for taking time out of your schedule to join us today.
Hey, thanks. And let me say whistleblowerdefense@yahoo.com. If you want to send me an email that comes directly to me, nobody sees it but me. Whistleblowerdefense.
Whistleblowerdefense@yahoo.com, ladies and gentlemen. Send Greg an email. Just send him some support. Tell him that you heard him and that you understand what he's doing and that you appreciate him. That would make me very, very happy. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton, full day tomorrow, both hours with those kids. It's going to be a good time. Thanks for being here, guys.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.